Matthew 7, beginning at verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would open our eyes to see fruits. Help us to be able to diagnose false prophets. Help us to be able to examine our own lives for the fruits that we ourselves bear. Free us from distraction. Give us a single-minded focus on your word and what it has to say to us this morning. You planned before the foundation of the world that we would be gathered here for this message, and we pray that it would sink down into our ears and from there into our hearts. We ask it in the name of your beloved Son. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. When I worked produce, the produce department at Walmart, for 14 months during my time in seminary, we needed to know the difference between a wide array of fruits and vegetables. One time, a new produce associate was hired. He didn't know the difference between lettuce and cabbage. And he only lasted 3 or 4 weeks. But to be a Christian, you don't have to know the difference between lettuce and cabbage, or between limes and lemons, or any of the rest of it. You only really need to know two things about fruit, Jesus says. Good fruit, bad fruit. As far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, in his teaching in this passage of the Sermon on the Mount, there are only two kinds of fruit, good or bad. And there are only two sources of fruit, good or bad. So he tells us to watch out for bad fruit. Bad fruit is the infallible sign of the false prophet. And we heard last week about the false prophet, what the false prophet is. He's someone who tells you lies about God, someone who uses you, someone who's obsessed with money, someone who's more interested in building himself up than in feeding Christ's sheep. That's the false prophet. Christ says, beware of him, he'll tear you apart. This week he says, how do you know who the false prophet is? How will I know, Jesus? Jesus says, it's simple. You will know them by their fruit. So I was tempted to call this sermon Heresy Hunting for Dummies. You all are not dummies, so I won't call it that. But we are fruit inspectors. We are called to look at fruit, to find out not whether it's a lime, a lemon, a grape, or an orange, but rather to find out, is it good or is it bad? That's Jesus' message to us. The fruit inevitably reveals the tree in the same way fruit reveals the human being. So Jesus begins with this agricultural observation. Well, he states the main principle, you'll know them by their fruit. Then he explains that it's very clear that every tree produces after its kind. You cannot gather grapes from a thistle. You get figs from a fig tree, not from a thorn bush. And, of course, this goes across the board. We're so used to it that it seems odd when someone points it out. It's just so blindingly obvious. Men produce men. Apple trees grow apples. Carrot seeds produce carrots, and on and on and on. Bacteria reproduce more bacteria of the same type. And everything that is, everything that can reproduce, produces after its kind. And to say that is a little bit like taking you all outside and saying, the sun. It always seems to me to make everything so much brighter. Well, yes. We all know that. We know that whatever kind of plant it is can be discerned by what kind of fruit it grows. If it has apples on it, it's an apple tree. If it has cherries, it's a cherry tree. If it's growing watermelons, it's a watermelon vine. And so on and so forth. Jesus draws this to our attention, not just to make a botanist's point, but to make a spiritual application. He points out three things about fruit. Fruit reveals the plant's species. Whatever fruit you see, that shows what kind of plant it is. Second thing, fruit reveals the plant's health. Good plant, good fruit. Bad plant, bad fruit. And Jesus goes out of his way to say that it goes both ways. You cannot get good fruit from a bad tree, and you can't get bad fruit from a good tree. The logicians would say, if and only if the tree is good, then the fruit will be good. If and only if the tree is bad, then the fruit will be bad. There's a direct ratio. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. And that law is never violated, never broken. It's always the case in the realm of nature. And then, finally, the fruit reveals the plant's condition. This is basically a repeat of the previous point, but Jesus repeats it so that we'll know. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. And Jesus then points out, later in this gospel, in Matthew chapter 12, I put the verse at the end of your order of worship, that this has to do with the nature of the tree. Inside the bulletin, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. If you want good fruit, you have to change the tree first. Or, conversely, if you want bad fruit, you have to change the tree first. The tree produces the fruit, not vice versa. So that's the agricultural observation. Every plant produces after its kind. But what's the spiritual application? Is Jesus suddenly diving off into botany after three chapters of spiritual meaning? Of course not. His application is hinting about human beings. By their fruits you will know them. Who's them? Well, it's the false prophets of verse 15. And these are human beings, men and women. So you'll know who a false prophet is because actions are the fruits of human beings. Apple tree grows apples all over itself. You, as a human being, grow various actions all over yourself. Whatever you do is your action, the thing you as a human being have done. And we all have had or seen those annoying big brothers who grab your hand and go, bam, bam. Oh, you just punched yourself in the face. Wow, you're so dumb. But what's so unfair about that? Well, the poor little kid who had his hand seized didn't actually punch himself in the face. That was not his action. He didn't decide to hit himself in the face. Somebody else used his own hand to hit him in the face. Well, that little kid didn't grow the action of punching himself in the face. It was his big brother that punched him in the face. Jesus is saying, any action that you truly do, your actions are your fruits. You grew that on yourself the same way an apple tree grows an apple on itself. And the first thing he wants us to know is that actions show who you are. We have an American proverb, an English proverb, actions speak louder than words. I can tell you who I am and what I think and what I do, but when you see me doing something different than what I say, you believe the actions. Those say something about my identity. How do you treat people? That shows who you are. How do you respond to setbacks? That shows who you are. How do you respond when you perceive things to be going really well? That shows who you are. How do you respond when you think you're being treated generously? That shows who you are. Your actions reveal your identity. More than that, they reveal your moral condition. They reveal whether you're a good person or a bad person. Now think about a rock. Can a rock do something bad? And the answer is no, the rock does not have a moral nature. The rock simply is. Maybe it's used to smash a window on a church. Is that the rock's sin? No, that's the sin of the person who threw the rock. Rock can't do anything good or anything bad. All it can do is be a rock. But as a human being, you have the potential for action. You can do something bad, you can do something good. And so, if you're doing bad things, that shows that you're a bad tree, you're a bad person. If you're doing good things, that shows you're a good person. And actions always reveal these things. That's a tough pill to swallow, we can say to the Lord Jesus. We all like to, you know, drop our lowest score, as it were. Oh, my worst moments? Those aren't me. Well, yes, I yelled at my kids this week, but I'm not the kind of person who would yell at their kids. That's not who I am. Right? We all like to insist that. Yes, I did X, but I'm not really the kind of person who would do X. Jesus says, oh, yes, you are. If you did X, then you are the kind of person who would do X. That's why he repeats it twice. Every good tree bears bad fruit. Every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. If you did something evil, what does that say about you? It says bad tree. It has bad tree written all over it. Make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree bad and the fruit bad. But there's no way to get bad fruit off a good tree. If you yelled at your kids, cheated on your wife, stole from your company, that says that you are the kind of person who does those things. That's a mark of your identity, Jesus says. So how do we account for the fact that we, especially believers, but all people, seem to do some good deeds and some bad deeds? How can we agree with Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who said in his speech to the graduating class at one of the Ivy League universities, the line between good and evil runs right through the middle of every human heart? Well, the answer is that as believers, we started as bad trees. God is in the process of renovating us, changing us into good trees. There's a sense in which that happens all at once, that there's a switch flipped from good to bad. There's another sense in which that's an ongoing process that takes a lifetime. We use the word conversion to describe both of those. The moment of salvation is the moment when you, as a bad tree, were changed into a good tree at the deepest wellsprings of your being. But it takes a long time for the polluted water that came out of that deepest part of the well to flow out and for the good, clear water to finally make it into all your actions. So conversion is both instantaneous and lifelong. That's why all of us here do things that a bad tree would do and then turn around and do something a good tree would do. We're in the process of changing from one to the other. And we've also already been changed from one to the other. Jesus' point has to do with interiority. You can't change the nature of the tree from the outside in. If you have a lime tree, you cannot change what that tree is by duct taping a cherry to one of the branches. You can't duct tape cherries all over the tree. Put thousands of cherries in the tree and then say, "Woohoo! It's a cherry tree." No, it's still a lime tree. And the cherries will eventually rot and the duct tape will eventually give out and they'll all fall off, and next year the tree will grow more limes. And Jesus is saying, you can paste good actions on the outside of yourself all you want, but the bad actions that eventually come out, or the good actions that eventually come out, will show what you are deep in your heart. They'll reveal the false teacher to you every time. What he does will show what he is. Actions can't be changed from the outside in. They have to be changed from the inside out. You have to be a good tree first before you can be good. So actions are the fruit of human beings, but we can say further that actions are the fruit of human beliefs. You do good things, you do bad things, because of who you are, but also because of what you think. If you think that sugar is the best thing to help someone who's sick, then you might give a sick child a gigantic bowl of Reese's peanut butter cups. Well, that's a bad fruit, right? That comes from a bad belief. An erroneous belief that sugar helps sick people, when actually sugar lowers the capacity of the immune system. So human actions reveal what a person thinks. Good actions reveal good beliefs. Bad actions reveal bad beliefs. For example, we can think of a certain bigoted individual, the Ku Klux Klan member, who believes, apparently sincerely, that it's morally right to yell slurs at every black person he sees. Now, this person has a bad belief, and that bad belief would produce in his life the bad fruit of yelling racial slurs whenever he encounters someone of a different race. That's an action, and that certainly flows from this KKK member's identity, but it also very clearly flows from his beliefs. What he thinks is right, he does something based on his misguided, erroneous, faulty moral intuitions. Actions come from who you are. Actions come from what you think. Good actions always show good beliefs. Bad actions show bad beliefs. Jesus says, evaluate any teacher you hear, any teaching you hear, on the basis of fruits. So there are really two questions to ask regarding the fruits that you see. The first question is, what fruit does this teacher produce in his own lives, in his own life, and the lives of his closest followers? What kind of actions does he do? Does he say, you need to give money to God's work, and then you find out that he never gives a dime? Does he say, be faithful to your wife, and then you find out he's cheating on his wife? Does he say, listen to God's word, and then you find out he believes something radically incompatible with God's word? Say that God the Father evolved out of nothing 5,000 years ago? Or on and on and on. Look at the fruit, whether he does what he says. My brother asked me the other day, why are there more preachers than doctors? which is actually factually incorrect. There are almost twice as many doctors as preachers in the United States. But I said, I don't know, why? And he said, well, it's easier to practice, or it's easier to preach than to practice. That's why doctors get out of the medical field and go into preaching. But evaluate based on fruit. Does this person practice what he preaches? On the people that follow him most closely, how do they live? Are they arrogant jerks? Are they nasty? Are they proud? Do they have obvious moral failings? That's bad fruit. Stay away from that. The second thing to ask is, what fruit does this teaching produce in the lives of those most zealous for it? Those who believe certain doctrines, certain truths. One obvious blinding example here is Marxism or communism. What kind of fruit did it produce in the lives of those most zealous for it? Well, devastated nations, starved millions, destroyed economies, devastated families, all kinds of unjust sentences, millions sent to Siberia or other re-education centers for no crime at all. Bad fruit produced in the lives of those most zealous for a particular teaching. So ask these questions, Jesus says. When you hear somebody saying, I'm a Christian teacher, I'll tell you about God, examine that person. There's an infallible way to find out whether he's a false teacher. And that's the fruit. Good fruit, bad fruit. If there's bad fruit, it's a sure sign that the person is a bad tree. And he's a false teacher. Now, Jesus does not apply this to us directly. He doesn't say, examine yourself for whether your fruit is good or bad. But it's a question we all need to face. How's my fruit? What am I doing? Do I bear good fruit? Does my fruit pass inspection? Or is my fruit the kind of bad fruit that comes off a bad tree? Jesus highlights the importance of this with verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What is he hinting at? Well, obviously, on the literal level, we know that all orchard managers have a slash pile, a burn pile, and any tree that doesn't produce is yanked and tossed right on that burn pile. But what's the spiritual application? What is he trying to say? Well, be a good tree, produce good fruit, or you're going to burn in hell. Jesus spoke about hell twice as often as he spoke about heaven. He did not want people to go to hell. He was warning people against hell. And we'll see that he does that again next week and the week after. Hell, a place of eternal conscious torment, warranted by our sins. Now, the action that you do, it depends for some of its heinousness on what happens. I have a styrofoam cup here with me. If I smash this styrofoam cup and tear it into a million pieces, no one cares. It's a styrofoam cup. But if I had a priceless Ming Dynasty vase here that I smashed and tore into a million pieces, I could be liable for tens of millions of dollars. The physical motions might be exactly the same, but the value of the object determines how much I'm liable for. Someone might charge me 5 cents for a styrofoam cup. Someone might charge me 10 million for breaking a Ming Dynasty vase. Well, when you sin against God, you're sinning against something far more valuable than a Ming Dynasty vase. You're attempting to destroy, to break, to smash the God of the universe, who is more valuable than everything he's created put together. And that's where hell comes from. That's why hell is necessary. Eternal punishment, not because the thing you did was eternal in its nature necessarily, but because of the one against whom you did it. If you sin against God, you're cut down and thrown in the fire. Jesus says, anyone who has bad fruit, well, there's no orchard owner out there who can make a profit by keeping a lot of unhealthy trees that bear a lot of bad fruit. As soon as that tree looks diseased, it's gone. It's out on the burn pile. And Jesus says, look, I'm warning you. Bear good fruit, or else you'll be yanked, cut down, thrown in the fire. One way or the other. There's no intermediate place. There's no happy pasture where retired fruit trees can go. It doesn't work that way. Either you're bearing good fruit or you're sent to hell. And that's true of false teachers, but that's true of every Christian. This is not a purely academic question. What kind of fruit am I bearing? This is a vital, eternal question. What kind of fruit am I bearing? Because if it's the wrong kind, I'm headed for the fire. Jesus underscores this. He doesn't tell us here how to start bearing good fruit. He mentions that in other places in this sermon, other places in this gospel. The way to bear good fruit is to become a good tree. And the way to become a good tree is to admit to God, God, I'm a bad tree. I've done a lot of bad things. I can't distance myself from those. I can't say that wasn't me. That was me. That is me. That's my identity. Lord, save me from myself. Turn me into a good tree. And he hears and answers that request, as we saw from Psalm 132. That petition, let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Let your saints sing for joy. And what's God's answer? I will clothe you with righteousness. I will make you sing with joy. You can't change your nature by yourself. If you're a bad tree, you can't make yourself good by taping on external actions. It doesn't work that way. God has to change you. And so the only way to be saved is to ask God to save you through the death of his Son and the power of his Spirit. That's the message here. If you don't, you don't care to do that, the fire is waiting. Jesus concludes by repeating himself, verse 20, by their fruits you will know them. Evaluate people and ideas on the basis of what practical action they produce. And if you find that your fruits aren't good, ask God to change you into a good tree. And if you find that someone else's fruits aren't good, pray for that person. Stay away from that person's teaching. Beware, as Jesus said. And remember, as you see someone whose fruits are bad, that this whole section starts with Jesus' command, judge not that you be not judged. Don't write the person off completely or say, yep, bad tree, go into the fire, well, I got nothing more to do here, I'll be on my way. Don't judge like that. Say, I see a lot of bad fruit, I think there's pretty good evidence of a false prophet. I'm not going to listen to your teaching, but I'm not going to put you out at the curb for the trash man either. Judge not, but evaluate carefully.
And finally, stay close to Jesus. He's the ultimate good tree. And if you are in Him, you'll be a good tree too. That's the message of this Lord's table to which we now come.